back. We're back with you here, Liberation Station Radio Show. Chris Steiner, the second and final hour, this live April 16th, 2023 edition on Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org, every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, and streaming live on the video I shared over to Republic Broadcasting's Facebook page, facebook.com/republicbroadcasting, and also there with you in the chat room on the Listen/archives page at theliberationstation.com. That's theliberationstation.com. And I'm going back to that. I see I was logged out. I was logged out of my own chat room again. Sorry, I'm not complaining to anyone in particular. It's just apparently a security measure. Good practice of Chatango using their free chat service. They're good chat service for so many years now, so many different websites. I've looked at some others, and I do like Chatango. Appreciate Mer Bailey for setting that up and her contributions in the chat room. And, yes, Mer Bailey, good seeing you in Ingrid's chat last night, too. I often don't go in there. That's Ingrid Castle's show on Republic Broadcasting Network on Saturday nights. It's Immunize Wisely. And I usually forget that there is a chat room that I was reminded by when she brought it up. And her show is on Central Time, 7 to 9 p.m. Immunize Wisely with Ingrid Castle. And Immunize Wisely. Wisely is spelled W-I-Z-E-L-Y. W-I-Z-E-L-Y. So, if you want to find that, doing a search, and her website is vaclib.org. I think she has another important website, but that's the one that comes to mind. And I'm sure Mer Bailey will probably tell me. So I'm counting on you. Pressure's on. I'll have to see if there's anything else. But she's a great longtime activist on vaccines. And longtime hostess on Republic Broadcasting Network. I think the only show that's been on Republic Broadcasting Network that's been dedicated to vaccines and doing quite a good job of it for so many years. So I'll be joining you there in the chat room more often. Getting back to iodine before the last break, before the end of the last hour. At the Weston A. Price Foundation website, westonaprice.org, is the great iodine debate. I'll show up on the screen. And it's by Sally Fallon Morrell, another great activist, June 22nd, 2009. And it goes over several different types of iodine and their benefits. So I myself prefer nascent iodine. I'll just comment on that. Similar to atomidine, nascent iodine, similar to atomidine, although requiring more electricity and a longer time to produce. The diatomic bond of the iodine molecule is broken and retains a high amount of electromagnetic energy. According to the manufacturer, quote, once in contact with fluids of the body, the charged atom of iodine starts a process of relaxation where it gradually loses energy over 2 to 3 hours. Sounds electromagnetic. Sounds like it may be electrostatic as well. They talk about other forms, detoxified iodine, synthetic or organic iodine compounds. Drugs such as amiodarone, an antiarrhythmic medication, contains iodine. The simplest organoiodide compound is iodomethane, used as a soil fumigant. More complex iodate compounds include nonylphenoxypolyethoxyethanol iodine. Well, I did that quite well. Or biacin, B-Y-A-C-I-N, used as a germicide as in teat washes, so apparently it's in the dairy industry, the cow or dairy teats. Then they go to endogenous organic iodine compounds, iodate, iodide, iodine I2. And those are all the forms that they cover. So they do a very long article here, The Great Iodine Debate, WestonAPrice.org. And, okay, Sam, well, we don't have any calls. Your calls are welcome. Sam, we'll get into the next clip in just a few seconds. That'll be clip 3. And your calls are welcome in between these clips. Once again, at 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252, and toll-free 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And, pardon me, Sam, give me about 2 minutes. I shall, as promised, cover this Dr. Peter McCullough point of action. This wasn't in my script. Mike brought it up, and I should be updating my script on the fly when callers call me, as I often do. But so, Mike, give me about 3 minutes or less, and we'll get to clip number 3. And this is Dr. Peter McCullough having an imposter, and the importance of this is that they are advertising as his wellness company. He's the chief scientific officer at the wellness company, Dr. Peter McCullough is. And on this imposter website, I learned, because someone posted on Peter McCullough's Facebook page, I'll show all this up on the screen right now, in the Facebook live feed there, that 6 days ago, Adrian Teller Mehi posted a fake account, and then on screen I have now the list of comments where someone linked to the account, and I can't click on it because I'm blocked, at least with this account. I'd have to log into another account, which I'm not going to do during the show on this computer, but I can see it on another account. There's no need to. The gist of it is that this imposter is posting a lot of Peter McCullough's material that makes it look like a very convincing Facebook page, and also advertising. So I'm concerned that they might be trying to not only siphon away his business, but not deliver, and then Peter McCullough gets a poor reputation for that, maybe poor reviews if somebody doesn't do the research to find Dr. McCullough. And so what I did is, and what I encourage folks to do is, and this is what got me blocked, so you want to post on several of the posts on this imposter account the comment, as I did, that the real Dr. Peter A. McCullough, and I'm friends with him, so since he accepted my friend request, or even if someone doesn't, I think often you can tag them, as I did, and is to make sure that folks know the real account. I commented that the real Dr. Peter A. McCullough, to whom I tagged, is at, and then I give the Facebook link, facebook.com/Dr, which is Dr. Peter.McCullough MD, and I've since been blocked, so I urge folks to do the same as what I posted on Facebook on Dr. McCullough's Facebook page. So if you go to that page, facebook.com/Dr. Peter McCullough MD, as a medical doctor, then, and I'll show you the true profile that he has. His courageous discourse there up on screen is the banner, and his profile picture I'll show up on screen, which is different than the imposter account, and I know that there are other imposter accounts, but this is the only one of which I'm aware that does such a convincing job and tries to advertise. So here we go. Dr. Peter McCullough in his suit is there, and so now, Sam, we'll get on to clip number 3. This is from the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree, April 13th, 2023. And it's just a short segment 9-minute segment that is entitled Shocking Study Shows Spike Throughout Body. And Jeffrey Jackson doing his usual weekly report. So we have that. And also to wish, again, Dr. Del Bigtree, happy birthday, 53rd birthday yesterday, April 15th, 2023. And wish him many, many more. I feel like he will get them in the physical body. And be very gratified once his and Aaron Series and RFK Jr.'s and Team Kennedy, the rest of Team Kennedy, TeamKennedy.com, have him elected, have RFK Jr. elected, I believe will happen. So that'll, his announcement for president, U.S. president, that he's announced, he's already filed for his run. I think it was April 5th of this year, 2023, and April 19th at the Boston Park Plaza Hotel. In 3 days from now, April 19th, he shall announce his candidacy, and we'll get a better sense of, I'll have a better sense of that presentation, what I'll tune in and intuitively try to see, get some, scour it for details intuitively and otherwise, so factual, intuitive, and figure out how we can make those plans that Team Kennedy has the best that they can be. And I tell you that prediction because I hope that folks might be able to tune in and tell me what they think, if they feel otherwise, if they would like to criticize Robert F. Kennedy Jr., especially before he's president, have that debate up front, and hopefully and serve to inspire folks to tune in and listen to your own heart as to what to do. And so let's get on with clip number three. Sorry, Sam, for that going a little long here. This is from the last edition, April 13th, 2023, of the High Wire with Del Bigtree. Shocking study shows spike throughout body. Sam, when you're ready, please roll that clip.
Thank you.
All right. You know, I want to point out something, that the High Wire has been here before COVID. We started in 2017 based on an investigation our nonprofit, the Informed Consent Action Network, was doing with our law firm led by Aaron Seary. And that work was what started the High Wire. We said to ourselves, if a lawsuit wins in a forest and no one is there to hear it, what will actually happen? As Neil deGrasse Tyson has said, no one's going to fund a show that focuses on the parts and the inconvenient truths about products that the main sponsors of television are making. So we made the High Wire. And I want to say that as you've been...
Okay, all right. I think, yeah, that was the incorrect clip. So, Sam, that was clip number three that we're looking to play. Shocking study shows spike throughout body. From, were you playing it from the start? No, it was, just go from the start to that time index, as it says. No, play from the start to 8 minutes and 57 seconds. All right, we're ready to roll.
Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the reporting of injuries, how it's been severely underreported, not only here in the United States, but we reported last week in Western Australia. Their reporting system was just inundated when they started putting shots in arms, the COVID shots in arms, you know, several 10, 20 times that they've seen ever before with other vaccines. Now let's talk about mechanisms, because we're at a space now where we're continuing to identify the injured. We want to know the mechanisms so maybe some therapies can help. And one of the things that is really becoming commonplace talk now are headlines like this. This is out of the Epoch Times: brain injuries after COVID vaccination. And so a lot of good science now starting to support that. But remember, these vaccines were rolled out, just to remind people, without much or any regulatory oversight. And this is the WHO's consultation on the considerations, the regulatory considerations for this evaluation. This was in April 2021. And it says here, the center, the FDA's Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research, has determined that this is in flux and has not required that biodistribution studies, that's where it goes in the body, be performed on a new vaccine if studies with another vaccine using the same manufacturing process and same lipid nanoparticle have already been done. So basically they're saying we don't need to test this because that, you know, those vaccines
because that
over there,
study we bailed out on the COVID vaccine, remember when we got emergency use authorization and kicked everybody off the study, erased our placebo group by giving them all the vaccine? That was the only study that ever needed to be done. The one we did not follow through on, we're going to say it established safety for every future mRNA vaccine, you know, probably thousands now in the pipeline that won't have to do safety studies because we already did a fake safety study. There's a list of all that are in production right now and the different vaccines that are on the way. And so and I want to make this clear because I know we harp on it and we all want to like put COVID in our rearview mirror, but the high wire is not going to walk away because it ain't over, folks. If you think the COVID vaccine and the destruction it's done to your family members and people around you, and by the way, 1 in 4 Americans now believes they know someone that was injured by a vaccine. Reuters has reported that to us. It's not over. There is a tidal wave of these mRNA vaccines coming, which is why we keep harping in this space. You need to understand how big this fraud was because there is so much more fraud coming.
Yep. And so remember, we're bringing people back to the lipid nanoparticle studies. We first saw that out of Japan. The regulatory agencies showed the internal documents there. Yeah. But then our attorney Aaron Seary, on the behalf of Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency, they sued. The FDA released these documents, Pfizer documents. And we look at this. In November 2020, Pfizer was looking. They basically hired, outsourced a therapeutics company to do this testing in rats. They would inject these vaccines, these lipid nanoparticles, and they'd see where it would look. And let's look at a table from that. Now, Pfizer had this data, and you can see here bone marrow, liver, ovaries. This is, and you notice at the top there, it's as early as 25 minutes after injection. This thing is spreading through the body. And by 24 hours, by 48 hours, it's skyrocketing in a lot of those organs and systems. And you can see also in the injection site there, kind of right in the middle, it kind of goes up to about 4 hours, and then it starts going down the concentration. So as it's draining out of the injection site, it's going to all of these other organs and places. So now that brings us into the study here. So recently, over the past several years, I did not know this. I had to look it up, but pretty interesting. Scientists make transparent mice to study cellular connections. So they take the hemoglobin out of these mice, and so they can study these connections that are happening. They can use dyes and fluorescent dyes in them and see really just things, how things work in the body. I mean, obviously, it's really, really helpful for science. Well, researchers in Germany have utilized this to look at the spike protein, the distribution of the spike protein around the body in a mouse model. And this is the study here. This just came out. It's kind of going all over the internet. SARS-CoV-2 spike protein accumulation in the skull meninges brain axis, potential implications for long-term neurological complications in post-COVID-19. And they say, the researchers write, the lack of evidence for the viral presence and especially viral replication in the brain led to the hypothesis that virus shed proteins circulating in the bloodstream may promote an inflammatory response independent of direct viral infection of the affected organs, including the brain. Notably, the highly immunogenic spike protein also used in COVID-19 vaccines might be a candidate for triggering infection-independent effects. So really quickly, what they did, these researchers, they took three mice, these transparent mice, and they gave them an IV injection of either a spike protein that was mutated, it was altered to mimic SARS-CoV-2, and in that it seeks to attach to the ACE receptors. That's those docking stations that the spike protein goes to into the cells so it can enter the cells. Mm-hmm. And then they used two controls, a wild-type spike protein that didn't have an affinity for those ACE2 receptors in the cells, and then a protein from an influenza virus. And here's what the researchers wrote after that, after this IV injection. At 30 minutes post-intravenous injection, the mice were transcardially perfused, and their whole bodies were subjected to optical transparency clearing and imaged using light sheet microscopy. We detected spike S1, that's the one that mimics SARS-CoV-2. We detected spike S1 binding in most organs, including the heart, lung, liver, kidney, intestines, thymus, spleen, and pancreas. And Dell, here's the image. this is what it looks like. The middle one, if you guessed it by now, the Christmas tree lit up like a Christmas tree is the spike protein. And that is the distribution at 30 minutes after IV injection of this spike protein. You can see the lighting up of a lot of the organs compared to the wild type spike protein on the left and the influenza protein on the right, not really rapidly speeding through and transporting through the body and ending up in the organs like the other ones. And now if you go to the second image here from that, they bring it to the individual organ, and you can see each one of those organs, and underneath them there's little arrows, and those are the spike proteins. They're finding these spike proteins in all of these. So before, again, we had lipid nanoparticles, and they were saying, well, these are going around the body. So what's happening to the spike protein? Are those accumulating the organs? We didn't really know. We had some autopsies where we showed people that had the spike protein in their brain, and there was a lot of hypotheses around that. But now we're getting a mouse model with this. It's not an exact science and not an exact model, but we're getting some looks at this. So the researchers write this. Spike S1 was also detected in the brain prefrontal cortex. Further examining the mouse heads, we found substantial spike S1 accumulation in the skull marrow niches. Notably, we detected the spike protein in the channels connecting the skull marrow to the meninges. And we can see a picture of that here. So this is the, if you will, you're looking down on the mouse, and that little box at the top that with the dotted lines, that's the area that's magnified to the right. And that's the head, that's the brain. And you can see in the middle there, in that middle picture on the right, the spike S1, there's a red fluorescent dye there highlighted, and you can see it.
This is not good. You do not want this in your brain. Wow.
And the researchers write this simply, the injection of the spike protein alone caused cell death in the brain, highlighting a direct effect on brain tissue. And remember, Del, really, the FDA approved the new bivalent booster on data from Pfizer Moderna on mice. Apparently, they didn't use these mice.
Eight mice. I mean, people are like, well, you're only looking at three mice in this study. Yeah, eight mice just determined that the new bivalent booster is safe for everybody. Eight mice. Right. No humans. Eight total mice. Jeffrey, great reporting. Super interesting. And boy, those visuals are really powerful. And when I'm talking to friends and family members that are starting to have issues that did get the vaccine out there, or those, that we meet on the road, just you do get this sense it's happening all over the body. And really, it's like, what organ is going to fail first? Is it going to be cancer before it's the swelling of the heart? Really problematic. And as I said to Neil deGrasse Tyson last week, this story isn't over. We are going to find out if more people die from this vaccine than ever we're going to die from the virus itself. So super interesting and sad. Thank you for your great work. We'll see you next week.
All right, Del. Thank you.
All right. I want to point out something that the high wire
has been... cut it off there and get on to, what do we know about the spike protein in science? Dr. Bruce Patterson discusses long-haul COVID is a good video on YouTube. Spike proteins in immune... The title is Spike Proteins in Immune Cells. Dr. Bruce Patterson discusses COVID long haul. Dr. Bean Medical Lectures. Bean is spelled B-E-E-N. And there's no space between the D-R and the Bean. D-R-B-E-E-N. And this was posted a year ago. YouTube has a strange... Okay, yes. June 24th, 2021. So 2 years ago almost. YouTube has a strange way of obfuscating the correct information until you click it to expand. So Dr. Bean, D-R-B-E-E-N, Medical Lectures and Spike Proteins and Immune Cells. Dr. Bruce Patterson discusses COVID long haul. He's a good, Dr. Patterson is a good colleague of Dr. McCullough, and he shows in his studies that the monocytes are a reservoir for the S1 spike protein. This study, show this up on screen, is by him. Persistence of SARS-CoV-2 S1 protein in CD16 plus monocytes in post-acute sequelae of COVID-19 or PASC up to 15 months post-infection. And I'll read the results as I scroll down for the general listening audience, and I thought I would have found it by now, but let me do a little quick search. There we go. Similar to other inflammatory and infectious conditions such as sepsis, lupus erythematosus, and rheumatoid arthritis, among others, we detected statistically significant increases of intermediate CD14 plus CD16 plus monocytes in individuals with PASC compared to healthy controls. In addition, CD14 LO CD16 plus non-classical monocytes were also significantly elevated in PASC. Neither intermediate nor non-classical monocytes were elevated in severe COVID-19. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to continue as much as I'd like to. Before I move on now to the next article, as promised earlier, is from the expose. Let me get my mouse back on my main screen now. And so the point is, well, the point I need to sum up with is go check out my February 19th show with Dr. Jared Roscoe on clinical tests and treatments that are available to recipients of the COVID shots. So many tests. I think that's the very best show folks can go check out if they want to see how they can do to help save someone and keep their life, put a life vest around them and figure out what that life vest needs to be. And when it comes to these clinical tests and see exactly what's going on, you know, assess yourself first. You know, Mike in Kentucky was mentioning someone who got the J&J shot, and I'll mention there was a former board op, who I formerly worked with at the Tan Talk Network, the WTAN network, and he got the J&J shot thinking that it would be safe, but he had persistent nosebleeds he couldn't figure out how to get rid of. So even with the adenovirus vector shots like them, they're problematic. And I'm not sure what tests, that's a question I just thought of asking. One like Jared Roscoe, Dr. Roscoe are the tests that are specific to whatever COVID shot, you know, first place, first rocks to lift up and try to uncover based on not only symptoms, but also the shot that you received. And let me get on to this next article now on fertility issues that Pfizer knew about. And get on to clip number four after this. About 20 minutes here, Sam. Once again, I think we'll take or less, and your calls are welcome at 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252 and toll-free 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And that's Dr. Roscoe is February 19th edition. Let me make sure I was correct here. So February 19th, and he's a doctor. He's just about a half a mile from me here in Clearwater, so it's good to have a local resource who I can promote, help keep the community strong. And when we get back, I'll start with that expose article on Pfizer and fertility. Ooh. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some people need their fears. They think it makes life clear. No one's on earth alone, yet everyone's on their own.
Station radio show, Chris Steiner with you. That is Blue 6 with Pure. And that's the goal here, to try to make sure you're not contaminated with a synthetic genetic spike protein. And when somebody thinks that's a good idea, wants to come to your door and know enough to show them some studies to say, hey, you want some spikes? I'll give you some spikes. So that's they're not going to, well, could be synthetic, but they're not going to be genetic. Could be made of wood, could be not made of metal, could be made of lead. You come to my, I think, Michael Badnarik, former presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, would say, you come to my door and try to shoot me up, and I'll bring my my gun, whatever it was, I think my 32 or something, my 38, I mean, we'll see which makes a bigger hole. So, I want to now get into, as promised, this article published at Exposé News. It's exposé-news.com. It's the Exposé article entitled "Quietly Published Pfizer Documents Confirm Between 82% and 97% of COVID-vaccinated pregnant women sadly lost their baby during the ongoing clinical trial," posted April 13th, 2023. And I'll show it here on screen. The confidential Pfizer documents that the FDA have been forced to publish by court order. Now, remember, that was November, the order from the judge came out. January, that is, 6th of 20. Well, I saw the, let's see, January 5th. The announcement was January 6th, but the order was January 5th of 2021. Pardon me, 2022. I'm trying to remember from memory. It was on Aaron Siri's Substack, aaronsiri.substack.com. And he doesn't have too many posts there, so it's easy to find. As I mentioned, 2 days before that, I posted on Robert Scott Bell's chat room that when I got the strong message, that I asked it and I double, triple checked that some message is basically that evildoers, who I understood to be the pharma companies, but you know, the relevance, I'm sure, was inferred correctly, because the topic is the COVID shots, mostly on the show, and at the time it was. But yeah, you know, I said that the evildoers will suffer a setback, and it'll be a kind of reprieve, but a setback for them back to November of 2021. So that was when Pfizer had original, pardon me, FDA had originally asked to classify the Pfizer documents for 50 years and then later on 75 years. So that was back mid-November. And so I had to double check that when I saw the news on Aaron Siri. I think it was Aaron Siri's, or maybe Patrick or Catherine Layton's Facebook pages. There are a couple of producers who work with the High Wire with Del Bigtree. So I'm not sure where I saw it, but the instant I saw it, I had to go check and check the news, check back to when that happened. And yeah, there it was. It just was so shocked that, and I said in Robert Scott Bell's chat room that I'm just doing this so if anyone else can tune in, and that's what I encourage you to do when you get what you think might be clues, revelations, or signs, whatever, dreams, share them, and maybe you'll have people sitting there speaking who will be able to relate their own or intuition or, and I've done that all the time, it happens so often, I mean, spirit gives me even punchlines earlier in the day. When someone says something, I'll have the punch, I'll know what the punchline, a good punchline is to it. I think that, you know, I'm getting that still state, and even still, spirit takes a sense of humor very seriously. I'm in a very somber state and get an idea of, okay, this is a prospective potential punchline for later on in the day. Make someone laugh a little bit as a means to lifting their spirits. So I'm going to I'm going to stop there and continue on with this this article that starts out the confidential Pfizer documents. I'm going to just reread this again. The confidential Pfizer documents that the FDA have been forced to publish by court order reveal that 82 to 97% of women were mistakenly exposed to the COVID mRNA, COVID-19 injection, either suffered a miscarriage or suffered having to witness the death of their newborn child upon giving birth. But Pfizer falsely claimed, quote, there were no safety signals that emerged from the review of these cases of use in pregnancy, end quote. And that's exactly what it says in their documents. Cumulative analysis of post-authorization adverse event reports section, table six, section is 5.3.6. And let's not lose, and I was just showing this up on screen. I'll blow it up a little bit more. I'm not sure how. Try to make it show up a little bit better. There we go. That's about as big as I can make it. And continuing, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration attempted to delay the release of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine safety data for 75 years, despite approving the injection after only 108 days of safety review on December 11th, 2020. So I'm ahead of my time. It was January 4th that I made that of 2021 that I made that post on Robert Scott Bell's Facebook page. And 2 days later, the news was on Aaron Series Substack page. So continuing the article, but in early January 2022, federal judge Mark Pittman ordered them to release 55,000 pages per month. They released 12,000 pages by the end of January, and I'll interject here, so that meant they have to release it all within 8 months. Continuing, since then, PHMPT has posted all of the documents on its website. One of the documents contained in the data dump is reissue 5.3.6 postmarketingexperience.pdf. Page 12 of the confidential document contains data on the use of the Pfizer COVID-19 injection in pregnancy and lactation. Pfizer claims in the document that by February 28, 2021, there were 270 known cases of exposure to mRNA injection during pregnancy. And it shows this this table up here from Pfizer. Continuing, 146 of those mothers' cases did not immediately report the immediate occurrence of any clinical adverse event, but 124 of the 270 mother cases did, meaning 46% of the mothers exposed to the Pfizer COVID-19 injection suffered an adverse reaction. Of those 124 mothers suffering an adverse reaction, 49 were considered non-serious adverse reactions, whereas 75 were considered serious. This means 58% of the mothers who reported suffering adverse reactions suffered a serious adverse event, ranging from uterine contraction to fetal death. And showing this up on screen, a total of 4 serious fetal baby cases were reported due to the exposure to the Pfizer injection. The 4 serious cases involved the following events: fetal growth restriction times 2, there are 2 cases, premature baby, 2 cases, neonatal death, 1. And it shows that the excerpt of the document, but here's where things get rather concerning. Pfizer state that of the 270 pregnancies, they have absolutely no idea what happened in 238 of them. And by the way, Dr. Naomi Wolf has written a book on this just a few months ago. Let's continue. But here are the known outcomes of the remaining pregnancies. Spontaneous abortion or miscarriage, 23 cases. Outcome pending, 5. Premature baby with neonatal death, 2. Spontaneous abortion with intrauterine death, 2. Spontaneous abortion with neonatal death, 1. Normal outcome, 1. And the show, the comparison of that here up on screen. Make this a full screen. Show the bar graph to shrink it down a little bit. Now that I had it full screen. Known outcomes of pregnancies prior to February 2021. There were 34 outcomes altogether at the time of the report, but 5 of them were still pending. Pfizer note that only 1 of the 29 known outcomes were normal, whilst 28 of the 29 outcomes resulted in the loss or the death of the baby. This equates to 97% of all known outcomes of COVID-19 vaccination during pregnancy resulting in the loss of the child. When we include the 5 cases where the outcome was still pending, it equates to 82% of all outcomes of COVID-19 vaccination during pregnancy resulting in the loss of the child. This equates to an average of around 90% between the 82% and 97% figure. that 82% figure is, however, very interesting when we consider the outcome of another study conducted by the Centers for Disease Control, VSAFE COVID-19 Pregnancy Registry Team. And I, as I was, okay, I almost lost my place as I was enlarging the screen. A study that was used to justify not just offering but harassing pregnant women to get the COVID-19 injection in the UK. We exclusively revealed in July 2021 how data had been manipulated by scientists carrying out a real-world study for the CDC to show that COVID-19 vaccines were safe for use during pregnancy. And links to that study on the National Institutes of Health, Library of Medicine, preliminary findings of mRNA COVID-19 vaccine safety in pregnant persons, April 21st, 2021, was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. In its online access. Yes, New England Journal of Medicine. Continuing the article, the authors claim that the number of people to suffer spontaneous abortion during the study was 104 out of 827 completed pregnancies, equating the risk of miscarriage at 12.6%, 7 to 12% lower than the risk of miscarriage in the general population. Sure, right, okay. And it shows the Pfizer data for that. And give me 1 second to get a drink. However, our analysis proved that these numbers were extremely misleading due to the fact that of the 827 completed pregnancies, 700 or 86% of the women had received a dose of either the Pfizer or Moderna COVID-19 vaccine during the third trimester of pregnancy, meaning it was impossible for them to suffer a miscarriage due to the fact that they can only occur prior to week 20 of pregnancy. This meant that just 127 women received either the Pfizer or Moderna COVID-19 vaccine during the first or second trimester, with 104 of the women sadly losing their baby. Therefore, the rate of incidence of miscarriage was 82%, not 12.6% as presented in the findings of the study, and the authors of the study have since admitted that they made a mistake, issuing a correction 6 months too late, but the study has been used to justify COVID-19 vaccination of pregnant women and new mothers around the world. And pull up the link to that. They've linked to in the New England Journal of Medicine, entitled Preliminary Findings of mRNA COVID-19 Vaccine Safety in Pregnant Persons, October 14th, 2021. And I'm not going to continue. I'm not going to read the all the screenshots or the excerpts, I mean, of the Pfizer references that they're also referencing, in addition to the hyperlinks on this article, so I'll continue. But there's that 82% number again. So that's two sets of data, Pfizer's confidential data, and the CDC's manipulated study that show the rate of pregnancy loss following COVID-19 vaccination to be 82%. Just a coincidence? Highly unlikely when we consider what else medicine regulators and Pfizer tried to cover up, a freedom of information request alongside an in-depth dive into the only pregnancy fertility study performed on the Pfizer COVID-19 injection reveals that Pfizer and medicine regulators hid the dangers of COVID-19 vaccination during pregnancy because the study found it increases the risk of birth defects and infertility. You can read the full investigation here that they've done, also expose-news.com. But here's a snippet of what should have been including in official public documents and subsequently wasn't. A combined quoting from Pfizer pregnancy category B2, A combined, in the, that's the title of this paragraph, excerpt from the paragraph, a combined fertility and developmental toxicity study in rats showed increased occurrence of supernumeracy, lumbar ribs, and fetuses from comirnaty-treated female rats. That's the Pfizer FDA-approved COVID shot. And Freedom of Information Act reveals Pfizer and medicine regulators hid the dangers of the COVID-19 vaccination during pregnancy because study found it increases risk of birth defects and infertility, is the that article, again, expose-news.com. The FDA's decision not to act on the Pfizer's data and the cover-up of the animal study findings by both Pfizer and medicine regulators around the world has led to 4,113 fetal deaths being reported in the USA alone. At medalerts.org, adverse reactions to the COVID-19 injections as of April 22nd, 2022. And they link to that. And it's showing it up on screen here. Take a look at this data out of Scotland. These are bar graphs that can't relate on this. I don't have the time to relate on the show now. Finish up the article. Public Health Scotland has a full dashboard of COVID-19 wider impacts on the healthcare system found here, and it includes a whole range of data from mental health statistics to pregnancies, cardiovascular disorders data, and cancer. Official figures reveal that the rate of neonatal deaths increased to 4.6 to 1 per 1,000 live births in March 2022, a 119% increase on the expected rate of deaths. This means the neonatal mortality rate breached an upper warning threshold known as the control limit for the second time in, the in at least 4 years. The last time it breached was in September 2021, when neonatal deaths per 1,000 live births climbed to 5.1. Although the rate fluctuates month to month, the figure for both September 2021 and March 2022 is on a par with levels that were last typically seen in the late 1980s. Public Health Scotland has not formally announced that they have not launched an investigation, but this is what they're supposed to do when the upper warning threshold is reached, and they did so back in 2021. At the time, PHS said that the fact that the upper control limit has been exceeded, quote, indicates there is a higher likelihood that there are factors beyond random variation that may have contributed to the number of deaths that occurred, end quote. You can read more on Expose News site. They have an article to that. They link to that. We either have a serious issue here or a bucket load of terrible coincidences, and it's all arisen thanks to this unbelievable claim made by Pfizer in their confidential documents in response to 82% to 97% of women mistakenly exposed to the COVID-19 injection during pregnancy losing their child. And Pfizer had said, quote, there were no safety signals that emerged from the review of these cases of use in pregnancy and while breastfeeding. Of course, now it's in the breast milk, as you heard in the first clip, the start of the show, from Dr. Pina McCullough, one of the studies of the five studies that he recited in that clip, This is from Table 6, Description of Missing Information, 5.3.6. I remember reading this way back when it came out. That is that article. And let's see what we have time for now. Get back to my script. And see what link. Okay, let's see if we don't have time for any more clips. Gosh. Well, I wanted to play a clip from the last edition of The High Wire with Del Bigtree. He's very good at going through the data. Jeffrey Jackson was on his weekly appearance of the hoax of green energy, of how it really just costs more and isn't feasible. It just causes so much more pollution and expense and so much, some studies that are showing that, going through exactly how many pounds of each kind of mineral that is needed to produce, say, a lithium battery or other things. So I mean, I do like solar energy. I think that's a good idea, although I don't like that slaves are used or people are exploited. And also the other clip I wanted to play from the last April 13th, 2023, High Wire with Bill Bigtree was in how schools across the country are being used to being directed. Teachers are being directed. Staff are being directed to have a double standard of allowing children to transition into the other sex without telling their parents, and have the double standard of when you talk to your parents, then use their given pronoun, and when you're talking to the child, use their, you want to affirm them, affirm their pronouns. Gosh, if you need a pronoun, sounds like you're not very firm in the head. So I think that's just contributing to psychosis of the children. I mean, feeding somebody, someone's feeding their insecurities, and you know, they're going to be allowed to say that they're anything, and you're going to just follow along with it out of respect. No, you're doing them an honor by disagreeing with their pronouns and calling them what you call them. You see that they're obviously a man, and call them a man. And saying, you might be insane, but you're not criminally insane, so I don't have any disrespect to you. And for you, I'll talk to you. I understand you. I'll talk to you, especially because I want to better understand you. And if you want to talk to me, I mean, I'd be honored. But I want to leave someone with is that they should, before making any permanent decisions, anatomically, romantically, particularly, they should balance their hormones, which includes detoxifying. And I would like them to accept them for who they are, as their pure, whole, simple, original self. And looking at the clock here, mention this article over at the Telegraph. No evidence-based masks protected vulnerable from COVID, health officials admit, by Joe Pinkstone last Wednesday. The 12th April 2023. There's not enough evidence to suggest medical-grade face masks protect vulnerable people from COVID, health officials have admitted. A rapid review report published by the UK Health Agency, the Health Security Agency, or UK HSA, investigated if high-quality masks such as the N95, KN95, and FFP2 coverings protect clinically vulnerable people in the community from catching COVID. And they didn't work. Well, thanks for tuning in, folks. Thanks for expressing yourself, even if it's sitting and basking the natural radiance of your soul, your God-given peace, sending those good vibes out through your environment throughout the nation. Until next time, every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, this is Liberation Station Radio Show. Chris Steiner on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please donate to republicbroadcasting.org. I'll take great care.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.